So before I get started, I think some of you have figured out by now that I really appreciate people with a good sense of humor. I like people who can laugh at themselves, mostly, and some people channel that sense of humor into making signs. And if we could have that up there. So I came across some signs that I thought were kind of funny, and I want to share them with you. Hopefully you'll think they're funny too. Danger, do not touch. Not only will this kill you, it will hurt the whole time you are dying. I got to appreciate that kind of darkness. How about this one? I love this one by the Comfort Inn. It says, now pet friendly, except for bears. We're not making that mistake again. You've probably heard the saying, I scream, you scream, we all scream for ice cream, right? How about this one? I scream, you scream, the police come, it's awkward. I like this this traffic sign. It says, cats have 9 lives, you are not a cat, buckle up. And finally, there are signs that are funny that I'm not sure were meant to be funny, but this is one of my faves. It says, touching wires causes instant death, $200 fine. Like to see them collect on that. Many of us are familiar with signs, right? We know that signs point to something else. They point to a product. They point to an instruction, a sale, a location. They're usually printed. But in the Bible, there are also signs, signals. And worry or anxiety is a sign in itself. Now, before I move on, I know in this series, if worry is something that you struggle with, you might be worried that it's a sign of something that it's not. Worry is not a sign that you are weak. Worry is not a sign that you are weak. Worry is not a sign that God loves you less. Worry is not a sign that your life is hopeless and that you will always have to live with worry. In fact, this whole series has been about how God can help us to no longer worry. The message for today is the cure for anxiety in communication. And you might be thinking, oh, I know what the pastor's going to say. I've seen this in psychology magazines. I know, you know, with communication. He's going to say, to no longer worry, you should journal. Or have coffee with a friend, you know, communicate that way. But we're going to discover this morning the Bible's much more specific about the kind of communication that lifts us out of worry. And it is prayer. Now, for those of you who are kind of just checking out the faith right now, and those of you who are listening online, when it comes to prayer, what you might be thinking or what you know about prayer may have more to do with what happens at Christmas with Santa Claus than with actual prayer. Because we think that prayer is about going to God, asking for the things we want, and if you're not on his naughty list, you get it. It's like Santa, right? That's often what we think of prayer. You go to God to get what you want. That is not prayer. Prayer is communication with God. It's much more expansive than just asking for things. And we are going to discover this morning this timely truth. God, quiet your world. Talk to God and quiet your world. The very famous preacher, D.L. Moody, said this. He said, I would rather teach one man to pray than 10 men to preach. And we're going to discover why here right away. So 4 ways prayer leads to peace. And I don't know what was it with me when I wrote this message, but I really got into words starting with P. So it's a lot of words starting with P. I don't know why. Okay. There is peace in protection. Peace and protection. We find in Psalms these words. It says, give your burdens to the Lord, and he will take care of you. Give your burdens to the Lord, and he will take care of you. I've mentioned this many times. If you've heard me preach before, I like to look at every word. Every word is significant. And the word here that really catches my attention is the word will. And he will take care of you. Not he may take care of you, or he might take care of you. Give your burdens to the Lord, and he will take care of you. This is a promise to you and to me. Give your burdens to the Lord, and he will take care of you. So one of the things that we can say to ourselves is, when I give my burdens to the Lord, I can know he will take care of me. When I give my burdens to the Lord, I can know he will take care of me. Think of how peaceful it is to know that God is taking care of you. How easy it is to forget that God is taking care of us. And God taking care of us is not like anyone else taking care of us. Again, more words starting with P. It's not like your pal taking care of you, or your psychologist taking care of you, or your pastor taking care of you, or your parent taking care of you, or your pet taking care of you. And I'll tell you why. More words starting with P. Because of God's presence. All those other people can't be with you 24 hours a day. They won't be with you 24 hours a day. But God is with you 24 hours a day. And when he takes care of you, he takes care of you from the beginning of the day to the end of the day. His presence is better than anyone else. His power is bigger than anyone else's. And what he can do on the inside of you and not just on the outside. His presence is superior, his power is superior, and his perseverance is superior. I'll tell you what, I've had a lot of people give up on me. Have you had people give up on you? Like, clearly this person is never going to get it. I'm out. But God does not give up on you. So when God is protecting you, he is persevering in it. He is way more persevering than other people. And this is why we should talk to God, quiet our world. There is power in God's protection. Power in God's protection. Secondly, there is peace. Oh, sorry. Yeah, there is peace in protection. There is peace in power. And I'm going to go to the writings of Paul, and he's writing to the church in Philippi. And he starts off with this. Some of you might be familiar with this passage already. But he starts off with this. Don't worry about anything. Isn't that great? Go to someone who's worrying and say, just don't worry about anything. Easy stuff, right? Yeah, you know this. But Paul knew 2,000 years ago, worry is a habit. As we've talked about in this series all along, worry is a habit. You have to replace the habit with something else. So don't worry about anything. It'd be crazy if he just left it at that. He didn't. Because he knew you got to replace the habit. So what's he going to replace the habit with? Instead, what's the word? Pray. Instead of worry, pray. Instead of the habit of going round and round in circles in your mind about all the terrible things that can go wrong, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Now, again, when it comes to prayer, we quite often use prayer as a means to go to God about the biggest stuff. You know? Our health, our children's salvation, our grades, our job, our finances. We go to God in the big emergency crises in our lives. But is that what it's saying here? Is it saying go to God with the big stuff? It says don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about. Think about that. Pray about everything. Pray about everything. You know, I've talked to many people when it comes to prayer. Prayer is hard work, by the way. It ain't easy. And I've talked to many people, and they get so discouraged because when they go to pray, their mind wanders. Have you ever had your mind wander during prayer? And it used to bug me so much. I thought, I'm terrible at this. Why am I so terrible at this? Especially when I became a pastor and I thought, surely I should get this together. Yeah. By the way, when you become a pastor, your mind doesn't become sharp and focused. In case you were wondering. But then someone told me, when your mind wanders, follow the wanderer. pray about the wander. If you are thinking about it, it's obviously important to you. And if it's important to you, it's important to God. So pray about it. So, you know, you might start off praying about, you know, your children's salvation, but then you start thinking about that joke your boss made about your pants not fitting right. Did that hit a little too close to home for some of you? Wow, I wasn't expecting that. So if that's where your mind goes, pray about that. If your mind goes to that leaky faucet that you have yet to fix, pray about that. If your mind wanders to that doctor's appointment scheduled next month, pray about that. Wherever your mind wanders, pray about it. Because our instruction is to not worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Ugh. I didn't write it. And he concludes, then, if you do that, then you will experience God's, say it together, peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. See, worry is a sign. Worry and anxiety is a sign it's time to pray. And so often we don't treat it that way. We just kind of keep going through the worry, the anxiety. Let worry be a sign to do something else, which is pray. Prayer is a habit that you can develop in your life. And this peace that comes from this new habit is not the kind of peace that you get from a good cup of coffee in the morning. Or it's not the kind of peace you get from a walk through the woods. You notice what the promise is? It's a peace that exceeds anything we can understand. It's not a natural kind of peace. It is a supernatural peace. It goes beyond what a doctor can describe or a psychologist can predict. It is a supernatural peace when we take worry as a sign, it's time to pray, and we pray about everything. We get this supernatural peace, God's peace, it says. It will guard your heart, which is the center of your will and your emotions and your thinking, your mind. Think about that. God's peace will protect your mind. Coronavirus. Some of you just had a panic attack. It will protect your mind. It will protect your heart. It will give you supernatural peace if you pray about everything. Talk to God, quiet your world. Prayer is the habit that replaces worry. Number three. There is peace in partnership. Jesus said these words very famously. He said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens." Does it sound like someone who's worried? It sure does to me. "Come to me, all you who are worried and freaking out, and I will give you rest." That's a pretty big promise. I will give you rest. Rest from your worry. But how do you do that? He says, "Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find," I love this, "rest for your souls." Whew! Not just your emotions, rest for your souls. "For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." Now, some of you, if you are not familiar with this passage or Bible speak, you are a little confused right now, because this is what you're thinking. Why is Jesus talking about making breakfast? I don't understand. "Take my yoke upon you." That's spelled differently, by the way. But I realize some of you have never heard this before. So I have to explain what a yoke is. He's not talking about eggs, okay? He's talking about this bar between two animals, usually wooden or metal or something, that allows two animals to work together towards a common goal. And this is what Jesus is saying. It's quite a picture. He says, I want to partner with you. Quit carrying all the stuff on your own. Let me partner with you. And I will give you, what was the word he used? Rest. Doesn't that sound like a good deal? Oh, how long have we tried to carry things on our own? And here Jesus is offering us relationship. Come, let me partner with you. Let's do this together. And by the way, rest in the soul starts with a relationship with Jesus. And some of you in this room and some of you listening online have not made that step yet. You have not decided to follow Jesus. And my hope is that today will be the day. But just so you know, when the time comes, Jesus wants to partner with you to help you carry your burdens, and he will give you rest in your soul. He will give you peace in partnership. It's quite an amazing thing. The invitation, come to me, is sort of like the sports coach saying, oh, today's a good day to talk about sports, right? Those of you football fans? Obviously not many. It's be like the coach saying, bring it in. Come to me. Bring it in. Let's talk about this. Come and rest. Come to me and rest. Come to me and rest. Oh, sounds like a good deal. Stop doing life alone. God wants to give you his grace, which is the ability to face whatever challenges you have. Grace, God's grace, we need that. So talk to God and quiet your world. Come to Jesus. Jesus is saying, come and rest. Come and rest. Bring all your worries to me. Let me help you carry them. Talk to me all about them. And finally, number four, there is peace in privilege. Peter, the fisherman that Jesus called to follow him, he wrote a general letter to the churches in what is now modern-day Turkey. And he gave this advice to worriers. Worriers are not new to the 21st century. Worriers were in the first century. And he wrote these words, give all your worries and cares to God. Why? Because he cares about you. God cares about you. Do you know that? God cares about you. To me, that is amazing. That the one who spoke stars and supernovas into existence cares about you and me. That's amazing. And this is this privilege that we have, that God, who created the universe, cares about us. And we find, as we read the pages of the New Testament, that even though God loves all people, he has a special care for his own. Those who have been adopted into his family. And some of us in this room have been adopted into his family and chosen to follow Jesus, and some of us have not. I just want you to know there's a special care that God gives to those who follow him. It is referred to many times in the Bible as being in Christ. And this wall over here talks about all the privileges that we have as followers of Jesus. He calls us, he makes us born again. To him we are complete. We are heirs of God's glory, children of God, adopted, perfect, citizens of heaven. These are the privileges that he gives us because he cares about you. Give all your worries and cares to God because he cares about you, church. He was writing to the church, by the way. The you is the church. And this is the good news, that the kingdom of heaven is open to anyone, no matter what your background, as I said before, no matter what your past actions, no matter what you've done, there is forgiveness and adoption available to you. That's good news. I wouldn't be here if the gates of the kingdom were not extremely wide. in you know what sense I mean in that. Yeah. Yeah, no, I didn't mean it that way. Talk to God and quiet your world. So what can we do? There are three steps that we can do to take away this morning. And they are so very important. Because if you are going to develop a new habit, instead of worrying to pray, here's what you got to do. Get real honest. Get real honest. And this is often where we fall down. The Psalms, there's a book in the Bible called the Psalms, and there are basically a bunch of songs. And when it comes to the church, we have kind of chosen our favorites. We like the ones that sound good and feel good. But there are songs in the book of Psalms that are rather dark and depressing, but they are honest. And all too often when we pray, we are not really honest. Especially in groups of people, we pray sort of the things we think that they want to hear, the things that are uplifting. The things that we find in the Psalms are things like, God, where are you? Why aren't you helping me? Why do you let the wicked prosper? I hate my enemies. I want vengeance. That's honest. That's human. And if we are going to reap the benefits of prayer, it's only going to come through honesty. It's not like we're fooling God, you know. He already knows what's in our hearts. But sometimes we have a hard time being even honest with ourselves in what we're really thinking. If we were really honest, we might be thinking, God can't help me. God doesn't want to help me. Those two thoughts alone create incredible amounts of anxiety. And here's something as well. Getting honest means drilling down to the root of our anxiety. What is it that we're really worried about? And here's the thing. Sometimes when we drill down on our anxiety, we follow the path of what we're really worried about, it will lead to an idol in our lives. It will lead to an idol. And that's why if we're going to get honest, we also need to be ready to repent and say, what I'm really worried about is this, and I realize this has become more important than you. And that's why we worry. Getting to the root of our anxiety may take getting some help. It may take a counselor, may take your connect group or a friend. But drill down. Find out what is at bedrock level of what is worrying you and be honest about it. So get honest. Number two, partner with Him. One of our vision statements says that we are to be people who are growing in grace, which means we are, in part, willing to accept the help that God offers to us, and we need His help. This is grace. How often do we live independent of God? There may be even people in this room who are trying to win their own salvation independent from God. The offer that Jesus made was come and rest. So here's an example of what this might look like. To get away from the theoretical and into the real practical, what does it mean to partner with Him? Here's an example. This is something you might pray. God, I can't carry all the worries about my job, for example, by myself. I feel insecure. I feel scared. I feel vulnerable. Will you give me the strength I need, the trust I need in you to not worry about these things? Will you be the strength where I am weak? Will you be my peace when I worry? Partner with me. Amen. It is an invitation to come and partner with Jesus. So what can we do? Get honest, partner with him, and finally, wait for the results. New habits. Often you don't see the benefits of new habits for some time. It's kind of like exercise. First day of exercise, you're not going to lose 20 pounds. I know that might be a shock to some of you and goes against some advertisements you might have seen, but the first day of exercise did not drop you 20 pounds. It's a new habit. It takes time to develop. And waiting for the results, it's like any relationship. It just takes time. And sometimes we want God to take care of our anxieties by praying for 5 minutes a day. We want the benefits of this relationship without investing the time. Our relationship with God is like any relationship. You get out of it what you put into it. If you invest 5 minutes a day, you will get 5 minutes worth of benefit. I'd like to tell you something different. But if you really want to get the benefits of this peace of God that he offers, it's going to take some time. Even the getting honest part, which, by the way, if you're waiting for the results and you don't see results, this is what I'd say. Go back to number one. There's probably something there that you have not spent the time drilling down on. Maybe there's an idol there that needs to be dealt with. Maybe there's a trauma there that needs to be dealt with. There's something there that has not been vocalized or thought of yet. So wait for the results. Remember, his promise is soul peace. This is supernatural. You'll know you're experiencing God's peace when you have no natural explanation for it. I'm just telling you. There will be no explanation for it. You'll go, I am in the middle of something horrible, but I'm okay. And I know many of you can testify that has happened to you. Because you've been through terrible things. And in the midst of that terrible thing, you felt this strange peace that everything was going to be okay. That is the peace of God. That is what he offers. And it only comes through getting honest and partnering with him and then waiting for the results. It is a new habit. Peter wrote, give all your worries and cares to God. All of them. Not just the big ones, not just when they're in crisis, all of them. You are not a victim of worry. Allow God to retrain your mind to see worry as a sign to pray and develop a new habit that brings peace. I've talked to many people over the years, many Christians over the years, about their prayer lives. And the thing that really stands out to me is the people with the best prayer lives don't pray because the pastor told them to pray. And they don't pray because the Bible told them to pray. They pray because they have a desperate need for the presence of God in their lives. And they can't face the day without him. And when you have someone who understands their need for God, they don't have to be told to pray. They'll just pray. And they'll pray with patience and wait for that peace of God to come. May we as a church see worry as a sign to pray. How many of us this week just worried? We got anxious. And we let it turn over in our stomachs and in our minds over and over. And we're up at night and all kinds of things. Instead of, oh, this is a sign. This is a sign. This is what the Bible says we're supposed to do. Instead of worrying about everything, pray about everything. Don't worry, pray. God is offering us a new habit, and He wants to help you with this new habit. It's marvelous. Talk to God. Talk to God. Quiet your world. Some of us in this room, our world is really loud right now. And our minds are filled with all kinds of anxieties and worries. Do this week. Use worry as a sign to pray. Every time you feel a knot in your stomach, every time you're sleepless at night, pray. What are you really worried about? Get down to the heart of it. What's really bothering you? Bring that to God, and He will bring the peace of God in your lives. Lord, many of us in this room have dealt with worries. Not just this week. We've dealt with worries all our lives. And Lord, I pray that all the people who are listening right now will begin a new habit today. That whenever we worry, whenever we're anxious, afraid, that we would go to You. Now that we would tell You all about it. Because You offer us Your protection, Your care, Your power. Lord, in You we have everything we need to live a life that is not burdened down by worry. Lord, for those who struggle with prayer, and I know there are probably many, Lord, I ask that You'd give them perseverance, patience, to be easy on themselves and follow that trail wherever their mind goes to pray about those things. Lord, I ask that You would help us as a church to get down to the root of the things that are really worrying us, the things that are really making us afraid. And if we need to repent and turn away from those things, turn away from potentially an idol in our lives, that You would give us the grace to do that. Lord, we thank You for the peace of God that You offer us and that partnership with Jesus that You offer us, that we could find rest in our souls. Lord, so many people in this room need rest in their souls. I pray, Lord, that You would release them from their fears, from their anxieties, that they would live lives of courage and peace. I pray these things in the glorious name of Jesus Christ, who died for us, who loves us, and who is here. Amen. If you would like prayer this morning for anything, there's going to be some people up here ready to pray with you. They will be found 10 minutes from now in the Newcastle room. Other than that, peace be upon you. Thank you.